You see, manna, it's useful because it is food for the physical body. But Jesus Christ himself, God Almighty, became flesh and dwelt among us. He came down from heaven. God in human flesh, Jesus is God's full provision for people, the bread for our souls. Think about that, the bread for our souls.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse through the Bible. We see that Jesus is the bread for our souls as our study of John continues in chapter 6, verse 30. Here's Pastor Bob.
They said, therefore, now all that we just said, Jesus said, just believe in me, believe in the one that God has sent. They said, therefore, unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and that we may believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So they quote from the Psalms, Psalm 78. They're quoting scripture to God. I like that. It's okay to do. It's not a sin. Just make sure you quote it right. They don't understand what they just said, and they're misunderstanding the scriptures. But look, these people, last night, they saw Jesus feed thousands upon thousands of people with five small loaves of bread and two fish. They saw him with their own eyes. It was amazing. That was a miracle. Remember? See how long that lasted? Not even 24 hours ago. And now they're saying, show us another miracle. They want breakfast. And they want it free, of course. Who doesn't? If we're supposed to believe, then give us a miracle. Give us a sign. And listen to the language. I'll say it in American. So that we may see it, that sign, that miracle, and believe you. What's it going to take for them to believe? He fed thousands upon thousands of people last night. Most of them are eyewitnesses to it. Not good enough, is it? Miracles are never good enough. Trust me. They aren't, not for you. You say, well, if I saw a miracle, I'd believe. No, you wouldn't. You might believe for 2 minutes. And then as soon as you got laid off at work, you'd need another miracle. That's our human nature. That's how we're built. They saw the miracles he did. Write this down. Miracles alone do not produce faith. In fact, the opposite is true. Faith produces what? Miracles. Well, do something really cool. You know, and you hear the preachers and the teachers and the prophets and the evangelists and whatever they like to, whatever the title this week might be. And they say, come out to this, we're going to have a tent meeting, a tent revival, going to put sawdust down like they used to do 100 years ago. Just put that old sawdust down, and then the Holy Spirit will crawl around in it, and so will you. And you'll be healed, and you'll be amazed, and there'll be miracles, and there'll be signs and wonders following. And people come out going, ooh, ooh, a show. They don't say it that way. They say, oh, this is going to be good. I've heard this guy before, and I'm listen. Do you really think it's that guy? They saw something huge last night, but it burned off by morning. They're tired. They just want some breakfast. Miracles do not produce faith. The world says it. If we see it, then we'll believe it. Well, I showed you something. Okay, but do another. What miracle will you do now? Now that you said these things that we got to believe, then show us something so we can believe. Now, listen closely. Their language is this. If we see it, then we will believe. They saw the miracles yesterday and they did not believe. But the Bible, God's word says, believe and then you will see. In other words, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, there in Hebrews. That's what faith is. We don't want to use faith. We want to see another show. We want to see the dead raised. We want, and people say to me, why doesn't God do all those things now that he did back in the Bible? How come you don't see the lame walk? You do. Go on into Africa, into the jungles, and you see it happen regularly. It's faith, everybody. It's faith. Get it? So they're quoting from Psalm 78. They quote a piece of verse 25, but let me read to you Psalm 78, verses 24 and 25, so you get the context, a little bit at least. And had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. Did you see the quote? They quoted, he gave them bread from heaven. So God sent down, he sent them meat to the full. So they're quoting that part of the verse. Jesus is now going to have to tell them, the Bible sort of says that, but you've got it wrong. Why? Because Jesus is the Word of God and he helps us understand it. When we study the Word of God, we can assist others. Now remember, for all of us, you can't help someone to higher ground and unless you're up on that higher ground yourself. You're going to hurt yourself trying to shove them up in front of you. You've got to be able to give them a hand up, right? So look at verse 32. Jesus is going to encourage them and correct their scripture understanding. I want him to do that for me too. Encourage me and correct me where I'm not understanding what the Bible is saying. Then Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. That's past tense and present tense. Moses didn't give it to you, it was my Father, and he's still giving it to you. Interesting, huh? For the bread of God, verse 33, is he which cometh down from heaven and gives life to the world. Now, he just took care of him with 3 points here. I tell you the truth. Listen closely. It was not Moses that gave you that bread from heaven. See, they think Moses did that. He prayed and God answered Moses' prayer. And so Moses gave us that bread every day. And Jesus lovingly says, it wasn't Mo that gave you that bread. It was my Father in heaven that gave you that bread. Then he uses the present tense. And he continues with another correction. Understanding God's word here, he points out that the Father is still giving them the bread from heaven, not just back then in the wilderness. Now, every one of us knows that God fed the people with manna. But the Jewish people read that when it says he gave us bread from heaven. They attribute that to Moses. They're misunderstanding the scriptures. See how easy the scriptures are to misunderstand. And you start telling that to people and they'll start passing on. So if you tell it to them a little twisted, that's what they pass on. And pretty soon they're all thinking it. But Jesus doesn't just correct that one piece. He corrects the fact that the Father is still giving them the bread from heaven, not just back then in the wilderness. And furthermore, he teaches them that he is the real bread, the true bread from heaven, not manna. Manna, they called it angel food because it was there in the morning with the dew. It was there. And they didn't know what to call it. Manna means, what is it? And Jesus says, furthermore, on top of that, I tell you the truth. Listen closely. He says, I am he, the one that the Father has sent. He is the real bread, the true bread from heaven. Manna is not. That was just something to feed you for your physical body. And he's going to bring that up coming up soon. Manna is useful because it is food for the physical body. but Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ himself, God Almighty, became flesh and dwelt among us. He came down from heaven. God in human flesh, Jesus is God's full provision for people, the bread for our souls. And he's going to build on that a little bit right now in verse 34. Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. We want that now. Give it to us. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they say to him, then Lord, evermore give us this bread. The bread you're talking about there, we want that. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. The first part of all the I ams he's going to speak. Here's the first one. I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never be hungry again. Never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that you also have seen me and you don't believe still. That is an indictment, because Jesus wants to be your Lord. He wants to be their Lord. He came to this earth to rescue us, to save us, to seek us out and call us by name. God so loves you and me and all the people out there, no matter what you think of them, he loves them and he wants to be their Lord too. Of course, the people say, give it to us then, that bread. And Jesus has to tell them plainly, I am the bread of life. Not I give you the bread of life. Not I'll send the bread of life down when I get there, but I am the bread of life. The Father has sent me. Another way to put it, the Father has given me. The one that comes to me, believes in me, shall never hunger again, shall never thirst again. Do you really believe? Is he saying that when we get saved, we'll never have to eat another bite of food? Or we'll never have to take another drink of water? That's not at all what he's saying. He's speaking spiritually, and we're all trying to figure it out physically. In basic language, when you have Jesus Christ in your life, your soul, from that moment on for all eternity, your soul is satisfied. Your soul needs nothing else. True? Never spiritually hungry again. Your very soul is comforted, is at peace, and is satisfied. Seeing is not believing. They see God Almighty in human flesh, and they still refuse to believe. So look at verse 37. And here we go. Buckle your seatbelts. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, will come to me. And him that comes to me, I will in no wise send away or cast out or turn away or throw out. I better read that again. Maybe you're one of those that doesn't believe that. Listen closely. And the Father, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to him or her that comes to me, I will in no way send away or cast out or get rid of. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Here's what I love about Jesus. He said, verse 36, I said unto you that you have also seen me, and you do not believe. You said, show us a sign. You're looking at the greatest sign there could ever be, and you're rejecting, saying, I don't believe. Do something else. We don't want to walk by faith. It's our human nature. Jesus says, my Father, I'll paraphrase, is in absolute control. His will and his plans will be accomplished. So he says, I'm not threatened or afraid or concerned. I know what I'm doing here. I know what my Father wants me to do. That's what I'll do. Here come the arguments. My Father is in absolute control. Let me say it again. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. Okay, what is that? Let's say it in American. God's election is being taught right here. True, whoever the Father gives me, they will come to me. True? Do this, wouldn't you mean yes? And I can't tell. So does the Bible teach God's election? Right there. Many other places, but right there. So he says, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. That's God's election. And then he says, man's free will. So which one is it? What do you mean man's free will? Jesus says right here, it's both. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, God's election, and he or she that comes to me, I will in no way cast out. The one that chooses to come to me, free will. The Bible teaches them both. Can it be both? Yes, even if my pea brain can't put it together. And maybe yours can't either. You're a bigger brain than mine. Can't put it together. So there's a fight. It can't be both. Has to be this or this. And the church is divided. And the church is violently split over this and been violently split for hundreds of years now. You got your Arminianists. You got your Calvinists. You know, in Arminianists, you got to be born again again and born again again. Every time you sin, you got to get reborn again again. And Calvinists, you're predestined to go to hell or you're predestined to go to heaven. There's no middle of the road. And if God doesn't love you, you're going to hell. Does the Bible teach God's election? Everybody say yes. Yes. Does the Bible teach free will? Yes. The one he or she that comes to me, I would no ways turn them away. So you got both. It's both. And people are going to continue to fight about this until Jesus comes back for every one of us. And he's going to take everyone that's his. How do I know? He's not going to lose one. He said so. When everyone that's mine, they're going nowhere. They're mine. He holds them securely. People will continue to fight this until the Lord returns. Till then, we're Christians. This is a simple way to put this. If anyone is saved, how many of us are saved? If anyone is saved, it is because of the free grace of God, God's election. But if anyone perishes forever, it is his or her own fault. There is free will. And people say, I can't put those together. God has said it's both. I'm not sure we may ever comprehend how they fit together. I just know he says it's both. God's election and us choosing with our own free will. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no ways lose or cast out or send away. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. I did not come down here to do my own will. When I came to Jesus Christ, he wanted to be my Lord. And I wanted that. I didn't know he would ever accept me, and he did. He wanted to be your Lord, your Savior, your God. And you surrendered and said, take me, save my life, use me, right? So he wants us to be like him when we grow up. What's he like? I did not come down here to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me, the will of my Father. Isn't that the way every one of us wants to grow up to be like? If you want eternal life, you must come to the Lord in repentance and in simple faith alone. A miracle probably won't do it. You'll just be dazzled and amazed, but there's no foundation. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If I got saved by seeing a miracle, go, all right, I'm convinced. There's no faith in that. Because as soon as something goes wrong, I got to start looking for another sign. There's no faith in that. And it's shaky. It's no good. So if you want eternal life, you must come to the Lord in repentance and in faith. Then in and through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, God will save you by grace through faith. No one, not one, who comes to God through Jesus Christ will be let go, sent away, break loose, fall away. No one. in America. Let me say it. No one who receives Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior will ever be lost. Do you get that? That's still a fight among Christians. And Christians are going to fight it once we're done here tonight. Christians will continue to fight it. But I'm taking God at his word. No one who receives Jesus as the Lord and Savior will ever be lost. Nothing can ever take the salvation back from you. Jesus won't do it. He said so. Even death cannot rob us of our salvation in and through Jesus Christ. So we don't fear death, physical death. Look at verse 39. And this is the Father's will. What is the Father's will? Which sent me. That of all which he has given me, I should lose none. Not one thing, nothing. Are you his by grace through faith? Will he lose you to anything? You know what we like to say? But I have the power over me. Don't we? I hear that a lot from Christians. Well, he wouldn't lose me, but I could walk away anytime I want. Really? Give it a try. C.S. Lewis said, you can run, but you can't hide from the hound of heaven. The prodigal son went for years and years and years, but when he got hungry enough and came to himself, he went back to the Father's house. Listen closely. This is the Father's will, which he has sent me. God's will is this, that all of which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. For the Christian, the last day is when the church is taken home. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have, will have, can, does have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Is that a promise with some sort of stipulation that you can find? We like to stick stipulation there. Well, yeah, he loves you and he saved you, but if you don't tithe, what do you got to do to be saved? Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And this is the will of him that sent me, verse 40. Everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have, shall have, everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day, him or her. Put it all together. Everyone that comes to Jesus Christ in faith is saved, and you might as well write it down, and kept. By grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. It takes all the work out of it so I can't mess it up. Aren't you glad? Because I would have messed mine up the day after I got saved all those years ago. Don't think you're any better than that. If God handed my salvation and said, hold on to this thing, I would put it somewhere like I do other things and not remember where I put it. I think I set it down in Walmart. I don't know. I don't know. Everyone that comes to Jesus Christ in faith is saved and kept. That's a promise. And listen, God says that's God's will in Jesus Christ. Everyone that comes to Jesus Christ in faith is saved and kept. The Lord has you in his hand, and no one will take you out of his hand, and nothing will take you out of his hand. You are kept by the power of God till the day the Lord takes us home. I am not kept by my own power. You are not kept by your own power. It's not you that's still saved because you've been hanging in there. It's God working in you and through you, and that's why we're still walking with him today. Can we understand that? Or do we really want to try to take some of that credit? Dr. Wolford wrote this. The Father's will is that those whom he gives to the Son will not suffer a single loss, and all will be raised to life in the resurrection. This passage is a powerful declaration of the eternal security of the believer. Jesus promises he will take every one of us home if we will rest in him and trust in him. He wants to be your Lord. My Lord. Is he your Lord?
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.